Welcome to the Podcast Profits Unleashed podcast on Mintwave Radio and all podcast platforms. If you're a coach, consultant, therapist, or healer with an online program and would like to find out how to grow your business whilst having fun podcasting, go to podcastprofitsunleashed.com/free. Let's dive into today's episode.
And we are live. So welcome to the show. Today we have Dr. Karen Kramer, and she is a grief recovery expert. So welcome to the show, Dr. We've got a Karen and a Dr. Karen.
We do. Thank you, Karen.
So what inspired you to really help people recover from their grief so that they can live healthy lives, so that they don't have to suffer any of the chronic ailments or physical manifestations that can come if they hold on to that grief?
Yes, Karen, yes. So how did I then come to being a grief recovery expert so people don't have to hold on to it? It really started back, I've been in the field of leadership development and coaching for the last 30 years. And have dealt a lot more with the conscious mind, working with executives, working with even retirees, working with teams and organizations. But really in the last 10 years, 12 specifically, and I'll tell you here in a moment, has really gone back to look at what actually holds us back inside. So Karen, I had about 12 years ago, I had one of those days. And let's see, between you and your listeners, if you can relate to this as well. And by the way, this is not my norm. I had one of those days where I just lost it. I was screaming and yelling at my kids. I hung up on my mom. I cussed out my brothers. I just lost it. And I looked at the aftermath, especially my kids and my husband tiptoeing around me. And I said, okay, I need help. So I went to see a therapist. Now, I want to preface, especially for those of you who are out there and watching this, seeing therapists or medical professionals, they are there to help. This is nothing negative about them. This is my story and also why I help individuals. So I went to a therapist and I walked out of there 40 minutes later, labeled with situational anxiety. And it didn't help me much. She even sent me to anxiety group. And then I came home and I thought, okay, I'm in my early 40s. Maybe I'm going through early menopause. Maybe what I'm experiencing is hormonal. So I went to my doctor. I explained everything that led up to that crazy day, even everything that happened that day. She stopped me in 2 minutes and said, wanted to give me hormones and give me prescription drugs, give me hormones. I was like, no, I'm not going down the medical route. I know it's more than that. So still beside myself, my husband said, Karen, that destination spa you've been wanting to go to, this might be a good time to do that. And so I went, and Karen, it was wonderful. 7 days away from everything. I ate healthy food. I exercised in the morning. I had massages and facials in the afternoon. It was heavenly. Then, within 2 hours of being home, I was bickering with my loving husband again. And I knew it was much more inside of me. What led to that day was, on that day, I put my beloved 18-year-old cat to sleep. Now, in and of itself, was, yes, it was sad, but why then did I have such a reaction? And I had that reaction because my father had passed away just a month prior to that. And I had been stuffing down my grief. I just jumped to the logistics because I had to be the one to deal with the logistics and put my emotions aside. And unfortunately, when I kept on stuffing them down, then my cat passed. I then just exploded in this anger. But unfortunately, as I was going through the process, I didn't have those therapeutic professionals, those medical professionals who took the time to understand that I was just going through grief. And unfortunately, that's not uncommon in our culture because we are in a quick fix, instant gratification culture. You can understand, I can see that. If I'm in pain, I don't want to go to a professional who's going to take a long time to be able to process through what I'm going through. And so that's where the quick diagnosis, the quick pills, the quick fixes, but these quick fixes are only dealing with the surface level issues and only numbing out temporarily the surface level issues. So that really started my journey, Karen, to say, what else is out there? What else is out there for us for healing? That's where I started on my journey.
Wow, love that. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. This is the problem with our whole societies. And you're over there in the US, trust me, it's no different over here. We have given our power away to a person outside of ourselves, an external, somebody in authority, or we perceive to be an authority in a white coat, to give us this magic pill. We're all looking for this magic pill. And as you said about this, we are. It's so true. We're in this instant gratification era. We don't want to look beyond that, like you say, that surface level. What is the problem? I've just kicked off at my kids or my husband. Oh, yes, maybe it's the menopause. Yeah, a lot of women, I'm sure, will be told also. We'll be told by others, oh, the reason that is because you're hormonal. Go to the doctor and get a pill to stop it. But we are a little bit more complex than that, aren't we, as human beings? It's not just the physical. We've got the mental, the spiritual. There's a little bit more. And why? How did we get here that they just focusing on the physical symptom and not taking the time out to look at the whole, a holistic approach? Where have we gone wrong over the last 100 years, more?
I love that question. And there are two authors and professionals, one a psychotherapist and one a physician, who have actually written on that. And one book has been around for a while. It's Dr. Basil van der Kolk's The Body Keeps the Score. So many people have heard of that. Yes, it's a very dense book and a very helpful book. And he actually then challenges that concept that there's more to just being just numbing people out of medications. And he uses a number of case studies, even some professionals such as actors and actresses who have been on certain medications specifically for long periods of time, where underneath that is basically childhood trauma, but nobody took the time, or as an individual, they didn't want to go through long therapy to take the time to able to deal with the root issue. They just wanted the quick fix. So there was the medication, but then they became dependent upon that medication. Another popular author is Dr. Gabor Maté, who is a Hungarian Canadian physician who originally writes a lot about addiction. However, his recent book, The Myth of Normal, really talks about how in his title, it is the illness, trauma, illness, and healing in a toxic culture. To that specific question, Karen, is where have we gone wrong? He addresses that within the medical field, and he just talks about that. It's not the doctors, it's not the medical field. Really, if we were going to point blame, it has to do with our culture, and all will circle back to us. I don't know about you, Karen, but if I'm going to go for some fast food, I don't want to sit there in the line for a half an hour or more while they go out and peel the fresh meat or pick the lettuce or whatever it is to make my fast food. I go in my line for fast food. If it's anything over 5 to 10 minutes, I may get grumpy because I'm expecting fast food, right? We are in this culture worldwide that if I am hurting, I want a quick fix. So it is, all of this is our well-meaning therapeutic professionals and our medical professionals are tailoring to what we want in a culture, something quick and easy. Unfortunately, yeah,
we, we've created this ourselves. We've created this ourselves. And the thing is, it's not working, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. It just numbs us out. And then we're not operating to our best potential, or we become addictive and we can't do anything without that, whatever it is. And again, I'm thinking more like prescribing drugs to be able to numb us out and find that middle ground. But we're not living if we're not dealing with the highs and lows, and we're truly not living if we're not dealing with the deep trauma that may be underneath that.
But we, none of us want to deal with that, because we are, again, we've been conditioned. Have we been conditioned, or is it just the human state that we want to run away from pain? We don't want to deal with any emotional drama, any emotional, we don't want to feel bad. We want to feel good. So anything that's going to take us down that road, we want to run away from. But actually, it's in the doing that and dealing with it that is going to help heal. So you must have a whole process with how you deal with this in its entirety. How do you help people live healthily? Because dealing with grief, and I can relate to that. I lost my own father a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I get it. And this is the weird thing, is that because we haven't been almost taught to deal with it, because big secret here, no one is getting out of this alive. And actually, the strange sort of contradiction, if you like, is we are really lucky, aren't we? We are really lucky. We get to this age and we lose a parent, we're lucky, because others weren't so lucky and they lost them when they're young. It's going to happen. It's part of life, and it's going to happen to absolutely everybody, but none of us have the tools to actually deal with it, because we don't have this kind of conversation. Because again, we don't want to go through the pain. We don't want to go there. So we don't want to talk about it. But actually, this is the conversation that people need to have, because we need to be able to deal with it in a healthy way.
Yeah.
So that you can move forward, because so many struggle. So for you, so what is your process? How do you help people deal with this and live a healthy life?
Yes, Karen, and I'll jump into the process about how I help people in just a bit. And before I do, I want to back up something that you say. There is a lot more podcasts, YouTube videos, books, seminars, information that's out there on how to win, gain, acquire, be happy. There are less so, thank you for bringing me onto your podcast, there's less information that is out there on how to lose, let go, and grieve. So I want to honor what you just said, is that there's less information out there to prepare us. And you're right, we are all going to experience some form of loss, specifically in death and dying, that's out there. But our society doesn't prepare us for that, because it just is, like you say, we want to move away from the pain and just ignore that. And then it happens, and then we're unprepared for it. So what exactly is my process in dealing with that? So as a grief recovery expert, I use a lot of neuroscience. So it's identifying when we're experiencing grief in and of itself has much less to do with the event, such as dying or death or a divorce, et cetera. It has much less to do with the event and has much more to do with what's underneath that. What's underneath that in our subconscious mind, which is our past traumas, our triggers, our limiting beliefs. For example, Karen, let's imagine if I am in a relationship with somebody. So being recently divorced, I'll use myself as an example, although this didn't necessarily happen in my situation. Let's imagine that I have a love in my life, and that love decides that he's going to cheat on me and he's going to leave me. And how I respond to it, what is it? The old quote of it, not what happens to you, but how you respond to it. So he leaves me. But all these feelings start to bubble up, and I start to remember, hey, I remember when I was 5 years old, when dad left us, he divorced mom and he left us as the kids, and I felt abandoned. And I then took on this belief that I was unlovable. Okay. So let's imagine that's my belief. That's my experience that I have. So move ahead. I'm in my adult life and the love of my life cheats on me and walks out of my life. What happens is it's less about that event, but it's bubbling up all that subconscious stuff that's underneath it that's saying, remember, Karen, you just got abandoned again. It doesn't feel good to be abandoned. Oh, by the way, you're unlovable. You're unlovable. That's the reason why they left. So it is less about the events that happen in our life and more about those beliefs, those traumas, those triggers that are underneath. So in the work that I do as part of the process is identify what are some of the triggers that are underneath that event. What is it that is causing us to act the way in which we're acting or reacting? Like on that day, I was overreacting about my cat passing away. That was just above board for me, right? It had nothing to do with my having to put my cat to sleep and everything to do with what that represented for me. So in working with my clients, I do a quick, easy process. Let's identify what it is you truly want. So in there, Karen, you mentioned something about we want to move away from. So I allow my clients, okay, what is it that you're moving away from? What are all those things you don't want, all this, and slowly start to identify what they do. And it's important for them to identify both what they do as well as what they don't, because we're looking at what's in the gap. And what's in the gap is important for us. It's what's that energy they're pushing away and what needs to be released to start focusing on what they truly do want. Number one, what do they truly want? Number two is to release what's getting in that way. And there's various different neuroscience techniques that I use. Neuro-linguistics programming, for those who are familiar with it, NLP, to be able to help people release it quickly and easily from the conscious, subconscious, or unconscious mind. So that's another thing. It doesn't need to be long and drawn out. There is another way to find the quick fix or the instant gratification, because when you're releasing it at the unconscious or subconscious level, it is instantaneous and it can be long lasting. And number three is just installing and equipping people so that they then can continue to stay in that more healthy, balanced state. So that's the process: identify, release, and empower.
Fantastic. But it sounds like it is all about being aware. And I think that's the issue. People in general are totally unaware of even how they're feeling or why. So they're not aware that things can change. The problem is that I see is that we react. I'm a great reactor. I react to what's in front of me. And I suppose through learning all this stuff, I'm quite quick to come back out of it, but it would be a lovely state to be in when you don't actually need to even react in the moment. But it's just fascinating that all of this can be changed. But step one is you've got to know that's what's going on and that it is empowering, isn't it? You don't need to go to an external person to be given a chemical to change the physiological effects that are going on in the body when you have these feelings, because yes, there is. You said at the beginning about these chronic illnesses are the manifestations, the physical manifestations coming from how we've felt on a obviously long term, a long time, a consistently long time. And I think it's just so empowering if people can actually understand that it's difficult, isn't it? Because we have to take responsibility. There's two things to this. And we're not saying that, oh, you deserved that illness. You were a bad boy. It's not that, is it? But it's understanding that without knowing, because we weren't aware, that actually some of these ailments, these chronic conditions, have stemmed from feeling maybe periods of grief for too long and not dealing with it, or feeling anger, and not the person's fault.
No.
But circumstances that have happened to them. But when we realize that it's how we respond to those terrible things, that we can then take control over our own health and deal with it. Yes. It's incredibly empowering.
It is empowering. And I'm wholeheartedly behind that on Karen. I love it, because it's when we take back the ownership, we create that, the word's just not coming to me, but again, the ownership around it, rather than giving our power away to experts that are out there. Bottom line, we internally do know what's best for us. We may not necessarily listen to it, maybe because it may be clouded with lies we've taken on about ourselves. I'm not capable. I'm not enough. I don't love myself. Or I feel like I have to lean on experts that are out there. But bottom line, once we release that, we at a soul level truly know what's best for us. Bottom line. Right? Another thing that I love, and you're reminding me of this, is when I'm working with my clients, especially when I'm working with teen clients, because they then, this analogy, they understand a little bit more. In my office, I have, well, you probably can't see it now. In my office, I have a turtle rug, a circular rug. Turtles are representative for me, but it's a rug. And I stand on that and I say to my clients, you are in the center of your life. You're on stage. Every person, every situation is just a character or scene on your proverbial stage. Like, we are in drama. It is theater. You're the spotlight. You're on a stage. Everything that is happening around you is happening for you. Every person, take their face off, take their name off. They're a character. This situation, whether it's a grief, a divorce, or whatever it is, it's a situation. It's happening for us. How then do we respond? It's getting then to recognize that every person in every situation is just a mirror for what's inside of us. So to something that you mentioned earlier, is how then do we get somebody to acknowledge and recognize that they have the authority to be able to take the ownership and responsibility of what's happening around them and not take it personally. Oh my God, I'm a bad person because I snapped. I could have easily said I was a bad sister, daughter, wife, mother on that day that I lost it. I wasn't a bad person. I was reacting out of a lot of things that were underneath. Every situation around me was happening for me to identify what were those things that I needed to identify and let go of. Because our life will continue to bring those type of people in our life, those type of situations in our life, those people like who have gone, their serial daters or relationship, it's like different name, but same type of person, same thing with careers. It's not them. Common denominator is we're that person. It's, are we just going to recognize what that pattern is? So once we've identified it, we can release it and break that pattern that shows up on our lives.
Love it. So there's just nothing wrong. We want to take control. We want to take ownership because we can't control them out there.
Nope.
We can't control who is going to be in the clinic, the person that's going to prescribe us. We have no control. And what you said, it is about just, we give our power away. Take back your power because, yeah, your soul knows exactly what's going on. But yes, we've somehow been conditioned to not listen to it and not trust it. But nobody knows your body better than you.
Correct. Correct. Amen.
But we've just found a way. I'd say this often on these shows. It's like, I'm sure I was in a past life burnt at the stake. We have. It's almost, I'm sure there's generational ancestral stuff going on there because you've been conditioned to not listen to nature, not be at one with your own body because, no, you've got to listen to that authority out there telling you what you should be doing to deal with this. And this is where we are right now. So what do you think holds people back from even, because do you feel that especially with this is, I know we're having a bit of a laugh with it, on the other side, it is quite a sensitive We don't want to trigger anybody either. It's a quite a sensitive subject, dealing with grief. Mm-hmm. And I suppose a lot of people will just feel like they've got to go through it by themselves, because people will just tell them, oh, time is a great healer. And everybody is very, it's very difficult to know what to say to people when they are dealing with it. And I'm not talking just about death. Like you say, it could be somebody going through a divorce or loss, I suppose, loss in general.
Yes.
But so what do you think stops people from reaching out for something alternative, like working with you, as a way for them to get out of that rut and live a healthy life?
The first thing that comes to mind for me, Karen, about what stops people from reaching out and staying in that rut is toxic positivity. So that's the first thought that comes to mind. So for our listeners, let me talk about what toxic positivity is, and then let's get back to that rut. Toxic positivity goes two ways. So if I'm the one who's gone through a loss, I'm grieving. It may be somebody coming to me and saying something like, oh, you're still grieving? Aren't you ready to get over it yet? Or like one of my clients had this experience after his son committed suicide is, oh, your son is, he's in a better place. I mean, he was in his 60s. He's, yeah, the better place would be right here with me. Like, those things that are said, which the one who's saying those, let's imagine it's all with great intention. And what they're saying is just not acknowledging and doing more damage to the one who's grieving. It's not acknowledging their thoughts, their feelings, their process of healing that's going on. Flip side, if I'm the one who's grieving a loss, I also can create toxic positivity by, oh, we're going into the holidays. I better put on that smile because I don't want to burden other people with my problems. I don't want anybody to ask me what's going on in my life. And I'm okay. I just need to be strong. Or like I find with some of my male clients, it's not safe to show my weakness or my vulnerability by sharing that I'm going through grief. I have to tough it out. So those are some of the things. That was the first thing that came to mind, Karen, when you asked that question, what keeps us in our rut is this whole culture. I go back to culture a lot, but this whole sense of we got to stay positive. We even built it in. I know for coming from the United States, I say this, it's already in our Declaration of Independence is the pursuit of happiness, right? There's so many different ways around the world that it's ingrained in us that if anybody starts to share their emotions and things, it's like, oh, how can we get them back in a better place? They got to be happy. No, you got to feel it to heal it. Allow that person, allow ourselves the grace to be able to go through this process. And one of the things that I have done is write my book so people understand and have a quick tool to be able to help themselves or help somebody else easily and effortlessly be able to process through grief so it doesn't manifest in the body and do it healthfully.
And that's exactly why this does, people do need to have this conversation, because you're so right. People aren't doing it deliberate. And this is why some, you get it either way. People either don't want to say anything and don't want to contact the person because they don't know what to say, and they're afraid of saying the wrong thing, or they think they're helping by trying to lift this person out of their grief and keep them positive, and that's not helping either. But again, it's being aware that nobody would do that if they realize that's actually going to do more damage. They think they're helping. As you said, it's coming from a place of they're either saying bad things or saying nothing. And if people actually realized that actually the better way to deal with it is XYZ, if you go and buy Dr. Karen's book, which we'll talk about that later, it's going to be a lot easier for everybody. Because like you say, everybody has to deal with loss throughout their lifetime. Everybody, every single person on the planet. But what else do you think? What other things do you think stops people from even accepting that they need help?
From accepting that I need help, this idea that I have to do it by myself, the idea that I am the only one, nobody understands me, the idea that, hey, if I seek a professional, that means there's something wrong with me, I am weak. I can go on, Karen, as to the many different ways as to why people isolate themselves and do not seek help. The other is, hey, this is, it's just about me. I can get over it. I can do this myself. I will tell you, so for at this time, it's almost 6 years ago now, I did have my husband at the time for Valentine's Day on a lovely, loving day, decided that he was going to walk out of my life. And because I've been in the field of coaching, I thought I can DIY, do it yourself, coach myself through my divorce process, which, by the way, even as a coach with as extensive experience as I had, we're the worst people to coach ourselves with that process. I couldn't see myself out of my proverbial pickle jar. I love using that analogy because I'm just seeing what's around me. I couldn't see what was external to myself. So some of this sense of I need to do it myself. I don't want to deal with the stigma. I don't want to burden other people. I'm the only one. How are other people going to perceive me? And we start to isolate ourselves more and more. When I was going through my divorce, for example, when I finally came through after I decided to drop the fake smile and start to share with people what was going on, I was then surrounded by even people, acquaintances that I knew, good friends and family who were there to support me, as well as just share their own stories that lifted me up to let me know I'm not alone in this journey, that there are people out there who can support me, that this is, I'm not damaged goods, right? Yeah, that was another thought, that yes, I am good enough, but not like this negative feeling that I was taking down with myself, and truly were helping me and lifting me up. So in there, Karen, there's many different reasons why people may limit themselves from reaching out to others and instead are isolating themselves from connecting with others and truly getting the help they need to helpfully process through grief.
So we're so hard on ourselves. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes. Yes,
we are. We are very hard on ourselves. So need to be a little bit, yeah, give yourself a break, man. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it alone. I'm going to ask you about your book. So you've just written a book.
Yeah.
And so this is obviously going to be helping people go through this. And it's a very safe first step, isn't it? Because they can read the book in their own home. And then the great first step. So tell us about your book.
Yes. So Healthy Grief, Normalizing and Navigating Loss in a Culture of Toxic Positivity. Karen, for you and your readers, I wrote this to truly help us process through. And it is to identify grief, back to some of the conversations we had before, recognizing that in there, I'm expanding the definition of grief. It is when we have experienced some form of a significant event that has left us with a significant sorrow when what once was is no longer. So think of our life almost like a proverbial book, whether it is, hey, grandma was once alive and now grandma's not. So it could be death and dying, or a relationship that has just ended, or a career, or our hopes and dreams about something that is no longer. So various different types of losses. It's almost like we're closing a chapter, but before we fully step into that next chapter of our life, there's that transition period there between chapters as we start to deal with the own thoughts, feelings, actions, and reactions that are coming from this loss. And stepping into identifying what does the new normal look like for me? For example, at the time of this recording, we're going into the holidays at the end of the year. So what does it look like when I'm stepping into sitting down at the holiday dinner table with all the family and grandma's not there, who always used to make the special apple pie, as an example? And if I'm going through a divorce and with the kids or not, if I have kids, what does that Christmas norm look like for me going into the holidays? If I'm used to kissing my love on New Year's Eve when the ball drops or whatever it is, like if that love is not there, what's that new normal for me? What's that new chapter for me? So I start off by talking about grief so people understand that grief is not just death and dying. It's an everyday life that we have, but we may not necessarily recognize it. That loss of something happens almost in everyday life. And with that, there is a process to go through that. So I provide a 5-stage healthy grief framework, and it literally is just a framework. It's a guidepost. It's something that asks a series of questions to get people to understand, or to get you as the reader to assess, what am I thinking about? What am I feeling? What actions do I want to take, even if it is just for today? What support do I need, formal or informal support? And number 5 is, what does that future vision look like? Even if in my moment, in my grief, all I can think about is, what do I want today to look like at the end of today? So it's a series of questions. It's an open framework to get us, anybody, to just process through on a daily basis what's going on with us on various different levels. It can be used with any type of grief. It can be used with any age, any situation, and it is designed in such a way that it's created to flow and it's easily rememberable. I actually do have it in an acronym that is easy to understand, easy to remember, so you don't have to use the book. And the great value, Karen, in that book, in Healthy Grief, I have 30 grief survival case studies that are in there. It first started with my own stories, but then I expanded from my clients, from colleagues, from others. They're around the world, so 4 different countries. We do have one who's coming from the UK who's in here, and it's 9 different time zones, 30 different stories. And what I do with those case studies is they share their story, and then what I do to help the reader is to place the 5-stage healthy grief framework against their story so that the reader can understand the various different ways that they process through their own healthy process. In addition to that, in buying the book, there's a QR code to get some downloads from the book, and every single one of those 30 grief survival stories also comes with an audio. So when I was asking my, what I call storytellers, to share their story and read their story, I said, imagine that you were sitting across the table. You just got your coffee and you're sitting across the table from that reader and you're truly sharing your story from your heart. Or you're in your living room and you're sitting next to that person on the couch. Share it from that perspective. So they shared their stories from their true hearts. I know when I read mine, I broke down crying a bit. It's one of those where it is heartwarming and it's designed to not only give a process, it's also designed to give hope and to let them know that they are not alone. So this book is designed, Healthy Grief is designed not only for the griever, but the supporter. It's not just a book, it's a lifelong companion to be used at any time through our life. To a point you made earlier, Karen, we need to be prepared because we're not getting out of this world alive. Even with it, death and dying, we're going to have some experience in our life. And having healthy grief on the side is going to be that companion to just flip through and say, okay, where am I now on this map of grief? And how can I get to that next point on my map? That's what healthy grief is about. And that's also who it's for, which, by the way, is everybody. But right now are those people specifically that are hurting and going through their own process of loss.
Amazing. Amazing. Because, yeah, like you say, it's everybody needs that. And even if you've used it the once to get over one thing, life had a way of sending us these different challenges. It's going to happen again. And it's easy to get complacent, isn't it? It's easy to get, we think we're fine and we need a quick reminder. So I suppose having a handy acronym will help people remember that. But so for the listeners, where can they get hold of this book? How do they purchase it?
Yes, right now this book is available on a specific site. And this is, and I'll drop the links to wherever it is. So Karen, help me with that, which is at bit.ly. So bit.ly/healthy/grief. Again, bit.ly/healthy-grief. That's where you can find it. And also, we're doing various different virtual launches of this book. So if we're not catching it around this time, we'll add some launches there so you can find out more information, as well as the endorsements that are on there. Jack Canfield, those who are familiar with Jack Canfield from Chicken Soup of the Soul, he's endorsed the book, as well as some others. We just launched it 2 weeks ago, and I am just warm-hearted by all the reviews that are coming in, Karen. So I truly want to get this into the hands of those people who need it, because frankly, our world is hurting.
Totally agree. Oh, look, Dr. Karen, it's been fantastic speaking with you today. And I know it's one of those subjects, but it is so important. And I love the way that it has been opened up. It's not, we have got to talk about it a little bit more, right? It's not just about dealing with death, but yeah, any kind of a loss, you're going to go through this process. So if you learn to deal with this process when something else happens, aha, you've got the tools in your toolbox to be able to deal with it. So amazing, amazing. So yeah. Thank you, Dr. Karen. Thank you for your time today. It's been lovely. And yeah, to the listeners, if you can't remember that bit.ly link, don't worry. Come back to the show notes. There'll be a link in there so you can grab it there. So bye for now. Be back next week.
Thank you for listening to today's episode on the Podcast Profits Unleashed podcast. If you're a coach, consultant, therapist, or healer who would like to drive sales whilst having fun podcasting, head over to podcastprofitsunleashed.com/free and find out how you can turn your podcast into a sales machine. We'll see you on the next episode.